SBS Radio. The sounds of chaos caught on a mobile phone as around 15 audience members raced to the stage to stop a stabbing attack against a guest of honour, Salman Rushdie. The 75-year-old was to deliver a lecture on artistic freedom when he was attacked by a man who was identified by New York State Police Major Eugene Staniszewski.
The suspect has been identified as Haiti Matar, age 24, from Fairview, New Jersey. The suspect jumped onto the stage and attacked Mr. Rushdie, stabbing him at least once in the neck and at least once in the abdomen.
Haiti Matar has been charged with attempted murder and is being held without bond. Authorities have yet to describe what might have motivated him. The president of the Chautauqua Institution, Michael Hill, says the act of violence is unlike anything in the organization's 150-year history, and there's a determination to not let it destroy what the group cherishes most.
Our whole purpose is to help people bridge what has been too divisive of a world. Mr. Rushdie, this has been part of his whole life, is to bring up ideas and thoughts. He's known as one of the most significant champions for freedom of speech, and I think the worst thing Chautauqua could do is to back away from its mission in light of this tragedy, and I don't think Mr. Rushdie would want that either.
After hours of surgery, Mr. Rushdie has come off the ventilator and can now speak. His agent, Andrew Wiley, says the novelist has nerve damage in his arm and wounds to his liver and is likely to lose an eye. Questions are being asked about the security arrangements at the literary event. New York Governor Kathy Hochul praised the police officer who intervened to end the attack against Mr. Rushdie.
He is alive. He has been transported, airlifted to safety. But here's an individual who has spent decades speaking truth to power, someone who's been out there unafraid, despite the threats that have followed him his entire adult life, it seems. And it happened at a site that is a place that's very familiar to me, a very tranquil rural community known as Chautauqua, Chautauqua Institution, where the most preeminent speakers and thought leaders and politicians and justices and everyone come together to have the free expression of thought.
Mr. Rushdie was born into a Muslim Kashmiri family in Bombay, now Mumbai, before moving to Britain. For years, he's had a multi-million dollar bounty on his head, and he lived for a decade under police protection, following the backlash over his 1989 novel, The Satanic Verses. The story focuses on two Indian Muslims living in England. It reimagines part of the Prophet Muhammad's life, and in one section suggests that he may have flirted with believing in more than one god. The novel ended up being banned in countries with large Muslim populations, including India and Pakistan. A religious decree was issued in 1989 by then Supreme Leader of Iran, Ayatollah Khomeini, who called on Muslims to kill the novelist and anyone involved in the book's publication. With the death of Ayatollah Khomeini in 1998, the Iranian government said it would no longer back the decree, but Ayatollah Khomeini's successor, Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, said in 2019 the fatwa was irrevocable. British Imam Ibrahim Moghra says the religious decree against Mr. Rushdie has been contested within the religion, and in his view, it did not call for his death.
A fatwa is a ruling given by a jurist for an individual to be able to practice their religious practices. The Iranian government of the day, when the fatwa was issued, may have packaged it or may have seen it to be part of a fatwa, certainly how it was reported by the Western media outlets was that this is a fatwa issued by the Ayatollah against Salman Rushdie. And I know that there were many jurists who didn't regard it as a fatwa. I was still a student in those days. Certainly even then, my friends and I clearly knew that it is not binding on the global Muslim community and wondered whether it was even binding for Muslims in Iran.
There's been no official government reaction in Iran to the attack on Mr. Rushdie, but several hardline Iranian newspapers praised his attacker. British leader Boris Johnson says he's appalled, while Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau called the attack reprehensible and cowardly. In a statement, US President Joe Biden commended the universal ideals embodied by Mr. Rushdie and his work. Mr. Rushdie in the past was the former president of PEN America, which celebrates free expression and speech. The group's current CEO, Suzanne Nossel, says it's the organization's hope that his essential voice cannot and will not be silenced. The owner of the novel destination bookstore, Carrie Wolfgang, says sales of Mr. Rushdie's novels have grown since the attack, and she remains committed to selling his banned books in her store.
That act of violence wasn't an accident. It was purposeful, willful, and horrifying to those of us who felt that we lived in a very safe community. We don't have to all agree. We can have differences of opinion, but we need to talk about them.
Author Joyce Carol Oates called the attack terrible, tragic news. Mr. Rushdie's close friend Ian McEwan says he's an inspirational defender of persecuted writers and journalists across the world. In recent years, Mr. Rushdie relocated to New York, where he continued his writing, including a memoir named after his alias, Joseph Anton, used while he was in hiding. Biwa Kwan, SBS News.
Want to hear more stories like this? Listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.